Hello and welcome to Broken But Glorious. I'm Chris Lapp, and joining me this week I've got Mr. WrestleMania, Nick Davey.
Yep, good evening.
And Mr. Tuesday Night, Oliver Newman.
Yeah, Mr. Tuesday Night, that's pretty good. I'm sure you've used Mr. WrestleMania before.
Have I?
The listeners will have to tell me if I've...
I keep doing it too after WrestleMania when I just become one of you guys again.
I didn't see him, lad.
Yeah, I'm all good.
All good here, thanks, Chris.
All good.
I think we should say a special hello to any new listeners we have from the Wrestling Hub YouTube channel, as we've now joined the family. So, hello.
Hello, everyone.
So thanks to everyone who's been listening to our interviews with Dean Allmark. Both parts have done amazingly well so far. And then we've got another interview with him coming up this Friday, the part three, the final part. And we've hopefully got two exciting interviews coming for you next week. So, Oliver, do you want to give us an update on your book signing before we get into it?
Yeah, you know, it was originally scheduled for Saturday the 3rd of March, and then we had Snowmageddon, and, you know, obviously it had to be postponed, so it's going ahead again on the Saturday the 24th of March, and I think it's a date we've kind of looked into, really, and well, it looked, I mean, like Irish look. because England are playing on the Friday night and all the local teams won't be playing because of international duty. So the kind of things that want to stop people from attending are not actually in place to happen. So that's good. And I just hope if, you know, those people, if you're a fan of professional wrestling and, you know, I'm a proud Brummie and, you know, really proud to be from the city. And yeah, this is an incredible opportunity for me. I'm honoured, privileged, and it's a pleasure to do my first ever book signing in Birmingham. So yeah, if you haven't got anything going on Saturday, 24th March, and even if you have, cancel it and come along to Pro Wrestling Cartel, and you know, we'll do a book signing and a Q&A, and there's, you know, possibly going to be some competitions as well, and maybe a book reading, and hopefully I'm going to be able to do my talking wrestling show with Tom Baker as well as part of this. So yeah, lots of things going on, so enjoy England on the Friday night and then come along to Pro Wrestling Cartel on the Saturday afternoon after 3 o'clock.
Yeah, and you also went to a show this weekend?
Yeah, I went to Pro Wrestling Subjective. This might be difficult to do because I'm talking to you guys on my phone. Just bear with me while I get the results. And yeah, the accidental hang-up. Say that again, sorry, Nick.
I said this is the file as an accidental hang-up.
Oh yeah, definitely. The first match was Carson Bailey with the judge versus Harry Cruz and Lauren. The judge constantly interfered in the match. Lauren was able to interfere on Cruz's behalf. She took the gavel, I think, off the judge. Off Carson Bailey, and that allowed Cruz to kind of sneak the win. So that was a good start to the show. You know, Harry Cruz is, you know, a young guy, and he's got, you know, big upside, and the judge and Carson Bailey's, you know, one of the you know, really good wrestlers on the show with a great character as well. So, you know, they meshed quite well together in the opening match. The next match was 2K and CJ Rawlins against the Rogues of Time, the Mad Hatter and Killian Jacobs. I saw after the event two brilliant YouTube videos. CJ Rawlins was with Hotshot Joey Scott. Yeah. And they broke up, and basically 2K was trying to get the real CJ back after the breakup, and it's really funny. There's like Taylor Swift song, We're Never Getting Back Together involved and stuff. So it's, yeah, it's worth checking out. That's, that was a lot of fun. But I don't mean this in a criticism kind of way, but this match based on those videos felt like a slow burning kind of character change.
Yeah.
But at the actual show, he was okay and he was in the tag match, whereas maybe they could have done like a 2-on-1 because he wouldn't fight because he was so depressed, kind of thing. So I feel this could have been a slow burning thing, but unfortunately, when you've got a show once a month, you've got to kind of burn through your storylines, haven't you? So, but yeah, you know, CJ Rawlings is one of the best on the UK independent scene and definitely the Midlands scene. 2K's got a fantastic character and is really good in ring. Killian Jacobs really stepped up in this match. His athleticism, agility, and ability was pretty incredible, to be honest. The moves that he was coming out with was crazy. And Mad Hatter is just, you know, he's just fantastic in, you know, he comes into the ring with a hat and he, you know, he uses it in a comedic kind of way. So it's always fun to watch him in this match. And the major storyline from this is that Killian Jacobs walked off from the Mad Hatter. So I don't know if the Rogues of Time will be coming back in the future. But match-wise, lots of craziness. Alter Ego, which is the team name for 2K and CJ Rawlings, win after a low blow by 2K and a roll-up by CJ. So, yeah, this was a really good match. I really enjoyed it a lot. Elliot Jordan experience against TJ Sky. During this match, the second rope broke, which is always fun. But they worked around it really well. Close near falls galore, close near fall apiece, like really close near falls, and then forearms galore. They were really, you know, throwing bombs kind of thing. And then, yeah, Jordan catches TJ in a double underhook DDT, you know, of, you know, Mankind quality back in the day, and picks up the win. And this was the best match on the card so far and had the best crowd reactions. Then we had an intermission. And then from the intermission, the Goddess of Fire and Pro Wrestling Subjective Women's Champion Athena Fury and Shaz took on Nightshade and the much talked about Millie McKenzie. And as I mentioned, on the Positive in Pro Wrestling episode six, yesterday, Millie McKenzie is. You know, the hype is real, in all honesty. This was an all-out. Yeah, that's exactly what they were chanting, Nick. After a superb all-action match, Shaz is able to win with her, like, spectre to the face of Nightshade. And McKenzie is a suplex machine. And one of the things I was thinking whilst watching this match was if her and Becky Lynch ever got into a match, it would be really, you know, it'd be really cool to see the superplex off kind of thing.
Take my
money. Yeah. I will, Nick. You know, if I had the details, I'd be glad to take your money, mate. So Millie McKenzie's, for somebody so young in terms of experience and stuff, she's going to be an absolute, you know, worldwide star. And I think that'll happen sooner rather than later, to be honest. The German suplexes by her and Nightshade on Fury and Shaz were, you know, ridiculous high angle German suplexes, and it's a miracle that you know, serious injury wasn't there wasn't serious injury kind of thing. And Judge with Carson Bailey against Steve Valentino. Judge catches Valentino in a powerbomb, but he reversed into a code red. The ref counts to three but waves it off. The match is restarted. The judge hesitates on the top rope. So Valentino jumps up, catches him in a superplex and a frog splash, and he wins the match. This match went all the way around the Station Hotel in Dudley. And when these two men face off, it's always a good time, in all honesty. They've got great chemistry. And this is, you know, this is another great match to the series. And then the main event was for the Pro Wrestling Subjective title. Hotshot Joey Scott, who I've discussed earlier, against the Outlaw Jesse Jones, who was a part of my WWE UK, if you remember correctly.
Yeah.
This was a back and forth match. A cool conclusion. Scott bounces off the turnbuckles after an attempted powerbomb. And then Jones quickly follows up with the Rainmaker Lariat for the win. And, you know, ending a top-notch, you know, show from start to finish, in all honesty. You know, really good a good show, but pro wrestling's objective, and it was a pleasure to be a part of it. And the only thing I was thinking after the show, and I've thought about since, is when the Outlaw Jesse Jones loses the title, I think they should cheat him out of it, because the fans will go crazy if that happens.
Yeah.
After he's kind of retained it for so long and kept it for so long. So the person who wins needs to cheat, and in the rematch they need to cheat again, and then have like Jesse Jones go on like the rampage until he gets his title shot back. So yeah, just a bit of fantasy booking there, as you know I like to do, lads. And yeah, like I said, top notch show. And yeah, pro wrestling's objective is a mixture of, you know, talented local Midland wrestlers and Nation. We had Don No Fun. Don was on the previous show, and he's going to be on the next show as well. Yeah, and it's a really cool, you know, local promotion. So, like I said, pleasure to be a part of it. And I was able to sell my 84 books, so, you know, all good.
Nick, do you want to make us all jealous and tell us about your finalised Mania weekend plans?
Yeah, can't wait. It's 3 weeks tomorrow I fly out, so yeah, got a bit excited. ESTA all authorised. I don't know who that allowed that to happen. got 3 weeks to go. Starts on the Thursday night with the WrestleCon show. On Friday we've got Progress's show, which features the only indie appearances that Mark Andrews, Pete Dunne, and Tyler Bate were making all week.
Wow.
That's the only show they're going to be at, an indie show. Obviously, we've seen Tyler, and I think Trent Seven's going to be there as well. And obviously, we've seen someone's injured, isn't he? Anyway, so there's that to look forward to on the Friday. There's Evolve that day as well, which you're going to, pretty excited about. And in the evening, it will, and right at night, it just really funds all over the Friday. We've got a Spring Break wrestling show, which is an American company, which you're really excited about. Saturday will consist of getting to a nice, priorities, get to a nice sports bar towards the football. Obviously, Brighton's big game against Huddersfield. Then it'll be NXT in the evening. Sunday, obviously, you've got WrestleMania. Monday will be Raw. Tuesday, SmackDown. Wednesday will be, sadly, kind of home and back to reality. And I'll be struggling not to cry.
What time do you get to the stadium on Sunday?
More stuff added on Thursdays and Fridays, respectively, and Saturdays, respectively, as well.
Yeah. So, what time do you plan to get to the stadium on Sunday?
Well, pretty early as possible, I suspect. So, good order.
That's a hell of a lot of wrestling. I can tell you from experience, a lot of wrestling in a very short period of time can mess with your equilibrium. it can mess with it. Well, yeah, the one thing you have to be concerned about is sleep deprivation, and that's what I suffered from in 2008, to be honest. And then taking in so many shows kind of takes the edge off, you know, the next show and stuff. So just be careful of that, really. But yeah, you're booked into some amazing shows, and I hope you have a great time.
Cheers, mate.
No worries.
Not jealous.
If it goes tits up, I'll just go and get drunk on Bourbon Street.
There you go.
And last thing.
Find your woman.
Alright, last thing before we get into our review. Oliver, you were involved in the Impact Wrestling conference call last week with Taya Valkyrie. Yeah, how'd that go?
Yeah, my first one, so I wasn't privy to exactly how it goes, but I got to ask the one question. I followed the topic list. In all honesty, a number of people didn't. They asked off-topic questions and got away with it, so that was quite strange.
Mm.
I asked about her time at the University of Calgary and what she studied and, you know, what was the experience like. And I have to say, she was, you know, really, really good on the conference call. Lovely with everyone from start to finish. And like I said, I asked the one question, I didn't realise you had to, you know, type in certain numbers and stuff to be able to ask more questions. So, from my first experience, she was lovely to talk to and answered my question in the, you know, the best way possible with a nice talkative answer. So, yeah, it's a positive experience, and I appreciate you putting me forward for it, Chris. And I hope I've done the team here at Broken But Glorious Wrestling Podcast, you know, good.
Yeah, she seemed lovely. I listened to the first 25 minutes of the conference call. So I'll put in the clip of Oliver talking to Ty Valkyrie, and then we'll have the review of Fastlane.
Hiya, it's Oliver Newman here from Broken But Glorious Wrestling Podcast. And I just wanted to ask, you said you attended the University of Calgary. It's a two-part question, really. What did you study at university, and what was your experience like?
At university?
Yeah.
I was at the University of Calgary. I left home like right after high school. I was 17. I could not wait to get out of Victoria and explore the world. So I went to Calgary. There were only two different universities in Calgary that offered dance programs. I believe one was at York University in Ontario, and then there was the University of Calgary. So since I was familiar with the Alberta Ballet Company from doing some work with them, you know, growing up, I picked that one, and I was there training at the university. Sorry, I was going and taking classes during the day, and then intermittently we would actually travel downtown Calgary to go train at the Alberta Ballet Company school. So it was pretty crazy. Like, when I think about it, we were getting up at, you know, 7 a.m, taking regular classes, and then going off and doing all the physicality of ballet. I also studied kinesiology, because that was part of the program. And, you know, it was a really interesting, crazy time in my life where I was just discovering myself as a young adult and everything. It was the first time I had moved away from home for such a long period of time. But, you know, it was a great time in my life. Calgary, it was one of my favorite places to live. I lived there for, you know, 10 years until I moved to Mexico. And, you know, I'll never forget that some of my best friends still live there. Lance Storm's Wrestling School is there. And Calgary has such a huge, you know, wrestling history, so it was really cool for me that when I decided to get into wrestling, it was there. So I absolutely love, you know, go Calgary Flames. I'm still a Calgary fan. Don't tell the Vancouver Canucks. But I just had a great time there, and the university there was really great, and it totally helped me really discover what I wanted to do, and it really helped me grow up.
All right, so it's time for the view of Fastlane. So, Nick, did you watch the pre-show?
I stayed up for it.
Yay.
Okay. Yeah, you watched it this time, Nick.
I didn't. So it was...
brackets all
35
minutes
of it. It's Ty Dillinger,
Breezango. You watched the match, and that's the most important
match,
thing.
Yeah, I saw the match.
Yeah,
so
that's the most important.
I finished a game of FIFA, so I got onto the pre-show about 20 past 11.
Yeah.
After having a 5 minutes, throw my hat and sit on the floor because I lost in the last minute again on Ultimate Team, but that's another story. the pre-show, a pretty standard match, really. I think, not being disrespectful to all six superstars, but I think the writing's on the wall for all six superstars at WrestleMania. They're all going to be part of the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. I hope, though, big things happen here. But the one man individual out of the 6 men that wrestle on the pre-show, Ty Dillinger, I don't think he should leave SmackDown. I don't think necessarily he should have a better year on SmackDown. Has it been thrust up the card a bit more? Because I think you get lost on Raw. Obviously, when you have the shake-up, obviously you have individuals going everywhere. But I think also in the shake-up, it's not necessarily about people coming over to SmackDown or going out to Raw and straight. I think it's also about using what's also on the what's on your brand already. That could also, that stuff maybe hasn't been used properly already. I think you have seen sometimes back in the years where you sort of see superstars sort of come out of their shell a bit after WrestleMania, what have you. And they start getting used a bit better. Hopefully, we see that with Ty Dillinger. But as opposed to the all the other men, I think, as I say, they're certainly all going to be in the Memorial Battle Royal. And I think it's just it's the case of where everyone goes after WrestleMania for now.
I think it's going to be interesting going forward, with it be at every pay per view going to be dual branded. What they're going to do with all these mid card wrestlers? Because they've got surely the upper mid card's going to move down to the pre-show now, if we're going to have mostly men. eight titles to defend on every show now. So whatever.
Yeah. I think there's some, obviously we'll see releases for sure. That's obviously going to happen. It just happens every year. There'll be some people getting released. But I would like to see maybe this year do, like, if someone's really struggling on the main roster, maybe, I think a good example would be Mike Callahan, on SmackDown. Maybe repackage them and send them to NXT. Like, I think he could be a good part of, he could even be a potential part of
Undisputed Era.
Good show there, Nick.
I must admit, I saw someone tweet it on Twitter. So, to be fair, I mean, that's why we follow good people who tweet about wrestling on our Twitter account. I was just scrolling through on Sunday night, and it was a really good tweet, but I don't know who the lad was, but whoever you are, well done. Sold me.
Right, so the main show opened with Shinsuke Nakamura versus Rusev Day. So I thought whilst this outcome of this wasn't really in question, I thought it was a very good opening match. I thought both guys got over very well. I thought Rusev scored some believable near falls, and the crowd were behind him, they were chanting Rusev Day. I thought there was more Rusev chants than there were Nakamura chants.
I thought it was a fantastic opening match, to be honest.
Yeah, I thought it was as well, to be honest.
We need to give it more credit where it's due. I think, fair enough, I think Rusev's one of the most over guys in WWE at the moment, so it's not disrespect to Nakamura. I don't think he'll ever be not over Nakamura. I just think at this moment in time, obviously, you always get a flavour of the month, so to speak, and at the moment a flavour of the year so far has been Rusev. No disrespect, but I thought the match was quite, I loved the near falls. It took me by surprise, I think, some of the kicks both of them were getting. I think Nakamura struggled to work with some guys this year. He obviously comes to the main roster. Struggled a bit with Corbin, Ziggler, and Jinder Mahal. But I think Rusev's certainly somebody can work with. It was an excellent match. Potentially even a. Obviously, we'll see what happens after SmackDown. I would happily see these guys dance again.
Oliver?
Yeah, just quickly going back to the kickoff show for a second. You had the perfect elements of, you know, wrestling and comedy for me. I really enjoyed the kickoff six-man tag match, first of all. And then, you know, to the main show with Rusev versus Nakamura, I completely agree with Nick. This was a fantastic match. The only thing I'd say at this point is it made me want the 205 Live roster to be across both shows, because this match felt like it should have been later in the card, and then if you've got the 205 Live roster, you can put them into, you know, the opening match and then warm the crowd that way. Not saying that this match didn't, but it felt like a bigger match than the opening match, and obviously went longer than what an opening match usually does, 9 times out of 10. So you could have placed this further down the card, you know, towards the main event, if 205 Live wasn't exclusive to, you know, the Raw brand kind of pay-per-views. That was my only feeling when I'd finished watching this match. I was thinking, wow, how amazing it would have been to have, you know, anyone in the 205 Live roster, to be honest, to have been in like a 10-minute, 15-minute maximum match. You know, one on one, or, you know, it could have been anything really. You could have put one of the six man matches that we've seen in the past, but with the new kind of shackles being off the 205 Live roster, it would have been an amazing way to start the show. But alas, obviously, fantasy booking aside, this was a really, really good match. Crowd reactions were amazing. The in-ring wrestling was really good. You know, everything about it was fantastic. So yeah, really, really enjoyed this match.
Where do you think Rusev's going to go forward? Do you think he's going to win the Battle Royal?
I think with regards to Rusev, for me, I always thought he could be the WWE or the World Champion, Universal Champion. Sorry. I thought that since the day he debuted, obviously in the Royal Rumble, the last last time we saw CM Punk, so that would be Royal Rumble 2014, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And I've always thought since that day he was world champion material, and they've got to allow him now to probably change his role. He's got to be a hero instead of the villain. And yeah, I could see him mixing it up in the main event on SmackDown Live. Definitely, if you can go toe-to-toe with someone like Shinsuke Nakamura, and he didn't come out losing anything from not winning this match, you know, he could be a really credible challenge to the WWE title if he stays on SmackDown Live.
Okay, so should we go on to Randy Orton winning the US title from Bobby Roode? I thought it was a pretty good match overall, but it was really long. It was just under 20 minutes. It lacked a bit of drama, but I thought it was an alright match. At least it was a clean finish. Nick?
Yeah, a perfectly good match. I wouldn't say it was better than the Nakamura match. Yeah, it surprised me how long it went, but I think obviously there was many matches announced for the whole show, so they had a bit of time to probably make up, which can be a good thing, because it means obviously superstars get a showcase their talent. But no, I enjoyed it. I think it's probably the correct decision. I've got no complaints. Obviously, Randy Orton probably deserves the Grand Slam. He's been obviously one of the best of all time. So no complaints for winner. Interesting. So they go here. I hope it's defending some sort of multi-man ladder match, because obviously ladder matches have got to be on the WrestleMania card in some way. And I think this seems like probably the best candidate for a ladder match, maybe. But yeah, I must stress, I haven't seen Raw last night, so forgive me if something's already been announced to that. And if it has, please don't shout it out.
Did you see Raw last night, Nick?
Shush. I hope it's a really good match, and no complaints with Bobby Roode losing it. I hope whatever brand he's on after WrestleMania, that again, maybe he's someone he can go to the main event scene as well. But I love Bobby Roode. And Randy Orton, yeah, I think he could even almost revitalise him. Obviously, he was going at a bit of a stale end to the year. I know he's going to be. I think I've read somewhere that he's going to be reducing the amount of time he has in the ring this year, a bit like Cena, which is fair enough given his age and how much he's done for the business. But no, it's good that he's carried all belts now, and hopefully he can almost make the United States belt a bit like when John Cena carried it. Prestige to it. I hope he does some sort of quite cool meeting to do open challenges as well. And with Randy Orton, there's one gimmick I'd like to see him do, which I know we're a bit on topic here, but there is one gimmick I'd love to see him do this year. It's almost like a new breed legend killer type thing, if that makes sense, like a new breed killer. So he doesn't necessarily target legends, he targets
indie darlings killer.
Yeah, target superstars who come from NXT or like the early indie people sort of thing.
That's another fair shout again. Nick, you're on a bit of a roll tonight, mate.
And this was actually not copied from anyone, to be fair, so I will take a bit of credit for this one.
So what move was Bobby Roode going for off the top rope when he got caught?
Going for the RKO, Chris.
Yeah, he
was going into the RKO. That's what he was going for.
I was watching again. I can't see what move you're trying to do apart from go into the RKO. Just jump straight, head first.
I just wish he had done it from the top rope, like he teased a few moments earlier.
He could at least put his arm out or something, so it looked like he was going for a clothesline. Unless he was going for a flying headbutt, I can't see what move he was going
for. Yeah, he could have done a flying headbutt. Not really been seen when the person's standing.
No,
it's usually when they're on the ground, isn't it?
Hey, so Mahal came out at the end. So, do you think this is setting up a triple threat match?
No, it's the continuation of the absolutely amazing feud between Randy Orton and Jinder Mahal that's going to last forever.
So you could have Roode and Orton versus Kali and Mahal at WrestleMania.
Oh, I'm dying, even John.
And that's your main event, Nick.
Yeah, I'm still rather that than the ranked Lesnar.
We'll be discussing the main event later. So. Right, so next up was the women's match. It's probably the worst. I think this was the worst match on the show, to be honest. It was Carmella and Natalya versus defeating Becky Lynch and Naomi. Started off a bit hot, but it started fading. There was a couple of botches. It got a bit messy. But it was a cracking super kick to win the match, I thought, by Carmella.
She's really good at kicking, I think. Well, I think Carmella's actually quite underrated. I think she's pretty underrated, Carmella. I thought she was probably the only highlight of the match, really. I'd say it probably was. I never like to criticise, but it probably was the worst match on the card. Carmella, I thought, was probably pretty strong showing.
There's a rumour going around that she might do a Seth Rollins and insert herself into the match for WrestleMania.
That'd be quite well, yeah. No, but then you would have the worry that obviously Oscar will be defeated the first time. If she
got the pin on Charlotte, you could still use the she's never been pinned or submitted.
Oh, yeah, that's true, yeah. That's probably the best way to do it, to be fair. That could be a good way to do it, to be fair. That would be quite cool.
Or as Oscar's gone over to SmackDown, she could cash in on Alexa Bliss.
Yeah, that's not a bad show, actually. Yeah, I was thinking, given there's only one woman's Money in the Bank match this year, so they might have the contract for whatever belt they want. I think that would be interesting to see if she goes out on either one of the brands this year. If she's going to go on Oscar, it should be involved with her, with Oscar's get pinned or something. So that would probably be the best bet.
Oliver?
I enjoy this match. I think I'm just trying to remember the details. I don't think there was a bad match on the show, to be honest. From the kickoff show, to the main event, I think every match kind of played its role perfectly. I think the longer matches, suit the SmackDown Live wrestlers. They're able to give their all, and it isn't about the booking and the writing, which has kind of been lacking on the SmackDown Live shows from what I've seen and what I've read and stuff. So. Yeah, I thought this was just a good, solid tag team match, really. That's what I'd say about it, really. Inoffensive. And just quickly going back to the Randy Orton-Bobby Roode match. Just, obviously, for him to become the Grand Slam champion, unless he wants to lose a ton of weight and go after the Cruiserweight title. I thought that was funny. If Buddy Murphy can do it, Randy Orton wants to be the Grand Slam champion. Well, he's trying to lose some weight, Randy. Get after the Cruiserweight title, mate.
Your arms are too big.
He has too much hair now. He probably weighs about £5 of hair. Next up was the tag team title match. It was Usos versus New Day. Yeah, I've heard mixed reviews on this match. A lot of people loved the Bludgeon Brothers beatdown. Other people thought they should have had just let this match flow and then had that on this week's SmackDown, because it was a very TV angle thing to do. But I loved the match, how it went. I loved how they were doing each other's moves. It's saying, oh, we know each other so well, we can wrestle as each other type of thing. And then I just loved the Bludgeon Brothers. So. And they looked fierce. And they nearly murdered. Is it Kofi? Who did that?
Xavier Woods.
Woods, yeah.
No, I'm thinking against the stairs, they tried to hit with the hammer, which wasn't the greatest idea because it didn't sound like a metal hammer, it sounded like a rubber hammer when it hit the metal.
Yeah, that might have been Kofi.
It was one of the New Day, I can't remember which one it was. But, what do you think of this match? Oliver, do you want to go first or Sam?
Yeah, loved it. Loved the match and how it was going. Wasn't sure who was coming to the ring because obviously, unfortunately, can't watch SmackDown Live until about a month after the show takes place. So I wasn't sure who was coming to the ring, but loved the beatdown as well. And then when this was happening, I was thinking, because obviously Nick's one of the biggest Bray Wyatt fans I can think of, if he went again with the Bludgeon Brothers, under disguise of the Bludgeon Brothers and repackaged it that way. That might be the way to kind of turn his career around. Forget about the Bray Wyatt name and stuff, he can still be Bray Wyatt, I guess, but working with the Bludgeon Brothers, and that's how they take the tag titles and stuff, and then they build it up again that way. So that might be a way for your one of your favourite wrestlers to kind of start over again, Nick, is one of the things I was thinking. And yeah, fantastic beat down. Love the trading of moves, the pre-match video package, and the intensity, you know, from both teams, especially Big E, because obviously the New Day are very happy-go-lucky, aren't they? And obviously the Usos saying they used to be the same, and it was only when they, you know, they turned it up intensity-wise that they took it to the next level. So I think everything about this match was fantastic, really.
Yeah,
Nick? Yeah, much the same. I like the way, I love the Bludgeon Brothers coming out. I think about the fact that we've seen Usos and New Day, no one's really going to lose sleep over the end of what might have been, because whilst we've seen the feud, obviously it was probably one of the best, if not the best feuds we had last year. Every match was quality, so we've seen that all, which is great. Now it sets it up nicely for WrestleMania. I think they'll do a triple threat match for the titles, which I think will be very good. I hope the Bludgeon Brothers win. I think post-Mania, we see after, I hope the Usos maybe go to Raw, the New Day staying on SmackDown. We'll have a good feud between the New Day and the Bludgeon Brothers as well. I thought the beatdown was brutal and everything, and it sums up them since they've come on, so they've obviously been repackaged very well again. And yeah, I agree. I mean, I consider potentially linking up with Wyatt again in future, and they could have Wyatt maybe win one of the big belts as well.
Yeah, I think he needs to lose the supernatural thing and go back to being a cult leader. So he's so much better.
Well, if you go back and you watch the original Wyatt family debut on Raw, it's so much, it's amazing, and then compare it to what Bray Wyatt is now, and it's heartbreaking, really, because, you know, as a character, he was, and obviously Luke Harper and Eric Rowan, fantastic characters, and with, you know, with good in-ring skills as well, so, you know, he could have had a proper cult and more brothers, and obviously Sister Abigail could have been revealed properly as opposed to what they did. So there were so many ways to build up Bray Wyatt and the Wyatt family, and they just never took the opportunity, really. There were so many different opportunities to make sure he was on top. You know, he lost to Cena, he lost to Undertaker. He could have beat Undertaker and Kane at the Undertaker's 25th anniversary Survivor Series. So many different ways they could have built.
For a while, certainly, about the beats he's had.
Yeah, well, yeah, but I mean, those main things that he could have done against, you know, the legend, the Undertaker, that would have put him over the top. But yeah, you're right, Nick. Unfortunately, his win loss record is one of the worst in the company, isn't it, when it comes to big feuds? So, yeah, if you, like I said, I was just thinking, if you repackage him and put him in with the Bludgeon Brothers, help them get the tag team titles, and then they help him become the WWE champion again, hopefully.
Yeah, right. I think it's next week's SmackDown. They're going to have the Total Deletion on, so I'm really looking forward to seeing that.
SmackDown, you mean in Raw?
Oh, Raw? Is it Raw?
Yeah,
sorry. Yeah, next week's Raw.
Hardy and Wyatt are on Raw.
Oh, yeah, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm really it's next week, so I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, put another one down to lack of sleep, Chris.
Yeah, I will do. 10 to 11.
Yeah, that's true.
My son had me up 5:30. He wanted to get up and watch the pay-per-view yesterday. I said, no, go back to bed. He was scared if we watched the whole thing in the evening, he wouldn't have time to play his new game. So he wanted to watch an hour before he went to school, so he could have play his hour after school. In his head, it worked. But next up was Charlotte Flair defeating Ruby Riot. I thought it was a pretty good match. I thought this was a lot more even match than I thought it was going to do. Being in, I thought Ruby Riot really looked really good in her first big singles pay-per-view match. The finish was never in doubt. But what do you think of the match, Nick?
Yeah, so the finish was never in doubt. But the actual match, I mean, Ruby Riot proves she's where she belongs. She's an excellent wrestler. She obviously proved she was an excellent wrestler on the indie scene for a while. Proved on NXT that she was a great wrestler, and now proving it on the main roster against obviously the best woman wrestler in WWE. So I thought that excellent match, correct winner, and then obviously post-match we saw what we all wanted.
Yeah.
Really, really nice to hear. came off the scene. Crowd reaction was fantastic. To get that much emotion was brilliant. Yeah, it should be an absolute belter of a match at WrestleMania. Can't wait. Obviously, you have the Carmella getting involved potential as well. So, one of the matches I'm actually most excited for WrestleMania. To be fair, it'll be brilliant. But full credit to Ruby Riott. I believe I could be wrong, but I think I saw a sign that suggests they might be doing a women's. They might be doing a women's battle royal at WrestleMania.
Fabulous Moolah.
I thought it was that or my, yeah, my young one, which is good. Gives the women something to do.
I think they're going to have two battle royals on the main card, or something.
I don't know.
That'll be on your kickoff show, lads.
Go for them.
It'll be a kickoff show match.
The rumours are going to have the Andre the Giant one on the show because there's this big documentary about
it. I think that's what I've read, yeah, about with the thing on HBO that they might put that on the main show itself.
Goldberg win it.
yeah, I've heard he's going to be in it because it was on the main show. To be fair, when Corbin won it a couple of years ago, 2016, WrestleMania 32, Baron Corbin won it on the main show.
It's a good. If they're going to have both championships, it's a good way to have something in the middle to break up the championships. So you could have both championships later in the show.
It is a good way to waste a bit of time. To be fair, like let the crowd have like a breather as well. To be fair,
yeah.
Yeah, I wrote about that Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal in my book, Fans Perspective 2016, what a year to be a fan of WWE. Available on paperback and Kindle via Amazon now.
Just have a tape recording of it. You sound exactly the same every time you say it. So as Nick referred to, Oscar came out after the match to face off Charlotte. Just did the usual. Showed Ronda Rousey, you don't have to look like a pleb, look pointing at a sign. So she did it properly. So Oliver, excited about this?
Yeah, just not excited at the fact that Nick's probably going to watch one of the best WrestleManias of all time, really, live. The amount of dream matches that could come, you know, true because of this is because of WrestleMania is incredible. What I want to say to, you know, WWE and the SmackDown writers and the bookers and stuff is they've done a fantastic job, at least on this pay-per-view, in making WrestleMania seem like the absolute, the pinnacle. The fact that everyone's jostling for position, to be on the show. And if they're not part of the show, they're absolutely gutted. I think they've done a brilliant job of doing that during this pay-per-view. Asuka versus Charlotte is incredible. That's going to be a fantastic match. I don't want Carmella to be involved until after the match if it happens, to be honest. Whereas Rollins added to Lesnar and Reigns because of the fans' hatred of Reigns and dislike of Lesnar. I don't want Carmella to spoil the match between Asuka and Charlotte, so she can get involved after the match if she cashes in. And the match with Ruby Riott and Charlotte, yeah, really good, debut pay-per-view match for Riott. She was able to show what she's been capable of on the independents, and hopefully from here we'll see her in the mix for the SmackDown Live Women's title going forward.
Ruby, Riott.
Right, so next up we had Shane dancing like an idiot. And then...
That was the highlight of the show, lads, don't lie.
How old is he? 50? He still dances. Wear some proper shoes. So it's the six-pack challenge between AJ Styles, John Cena, Sami Zayn, Dolph Ziggler, Kevin Owens and Baron Corbin. I thought this was a tremendously fun match, very good. It was all action, chaos, kept the crowd entertained the whole time. I think Dolph Ziggler was pointless being in this. All the reviews I've heard, they're saying how well Baron Corbin did, but I don't remember one spot by Baron Corbin. That was when he did the deep six on AJ. Man, I don't remember him for the rest of the match, but I did have a two-year-old singing at me when I was watching it. So, what do you think of the match? Oliver, do you want to go first?
Okay. Really enjoyed this match again. Because one of the things I was thinking going into it is, if they had a championship scramble again. But after watching the match take place, if you were kind of waiting around for like 20 minutes for the you know the final part of the match, whereas in this match and the six pack challenge, the pinfall could come at any time.
Yeah.
So the fans would get restless and stuff. So it's probably the best idea to go with a six pack challenge. Although, you know, regardless of how I feel about championship scramble and stuff. So yeah, all action, like you said. Like Baron Corbin and stuff going after Ziggler and taking it out of the ringside area was a bit strange. Maybe those two go at it at WrestleMania in some kind of way, shape or form. The Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn storyline is fantastic, and
yeah.
I really, really hope that there's a one-on-one match between them at WrestleMania.
I'd like it to be a one-on-one with Shane. I want to be one-on-one for the number one contendership, and Shane has to be the referee, so he has to make one of them number one contender.
Yeah, that's a really good idea.
I don't want to see Shane dance and wrestle.
Well, I'm obviously, because of what happened in the match and stuff, it's going to be Shane against Zayn and Owens, and I'm hoping Brian gets cleared. But
I think we'll know by now if Brian was going to wrestle. They'll be advertising by now.
That's probably not going to happen. And then I'm thinking, towards the end of the match, if he does get cleared, he turns on Shane, joins with Owens and Zayn, and then tries to force, you know, Shane out of the company again. I think that would be quite a cool storyline. but yeah, you know, all action match. You know, really, really good use of everyone and everything. And then obviously AJ comes in and retains his championship, and he's hopefully main event slot at WrestleMania. And by main event, I don't mean middle of the card. We've got three main events. I mean ending the show, because the Royal Rumble winner should always take on the WWE champion or the Universal champion to end the show. And just quickly, because of, you know, this thought's coming into my head and stuff, we've obviously what happened with Buddy Murphy and, you know, with his weight loss and stuff and being on 205 Live, a way to rejuvenate Dolph Ziggler's career. Obviously, they've been, you know, the show stealer and the show stopper kind of thing, and going out and having the best matches. Well, let's see him lose 13 pounds.
Cause he's only bailed about 220, isn't he? So it's not that
yeah,
much,
it's so. 218. So yeah. If he loses 13 pounds, he can go and steal the show on 205 Live every week. That would be a great way to use him, I think, in all honesty.
Yeah, Nick?
I think it was my match tonight. Really enjoyable main event to watch. I think the Owens and Zayn thing was done brilliantly with Shane. Shane was getting genuine heat as well on both the crowd and on Twitter and everything. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. I mean, I know obviously there was plans, talks of Owens versus Zayn, maybe, but I think now they haven't really cleared up the... I don't know how they're going to move away with Shane. I think they're both wanting to get revenge on Shane still. So I remember there was talk of Shane versus Dolph. I think at the moment I think it should be maybe Owens and Zayn versus Shane, the partner of his choice.
I think that's the way they'll go, Nick. I don't know how they're going to get to Shane versus Dolph.
No, yeah, maybe even Dolph has Shane's partner. That he could set up the story that Shane wanted Dolph back because he believes he's the best, etc., etc. Or Shane could go really heelish and get somewhere. I don't know. Maybe like a big lad to be his partner. Even though there's not many on SmackDown. Well, Corbin, but so yeah, there's that. Whether that goes, I completely and utterly agree about AJ Styles and Nakamura. I'm just expecting it not to happen, so I'm generally excited when it does happen as the main event. But I agree, it's Royal Rumble winner versus WWE Championship 100% going last. But we need to go there because
discussing that next.
It's been said for years. Mm-hmm. But no, that's still the show at Mania. John Cena, I think it's blatantly obvious where he's going for WrestleMania, which is good. And then it's just, but no, overall, really good match. And I think where Corbin, Ziggler, and Cena go, and obviously what we know is that Zayn and Owens, they're potentially either going to a one on one match or a tag match against Shane and a partner of his choice, which could be Dolph. Corbin potentially be added to the either the suspect either the Battle Royal or the United States picture potentially. All I've got sight of someone to go for WrestleMania.
And my overall idea was I don't think it's going to happen now because obviously Randy Orton and Jinder Mahal and Bobby Roode are probably in the US title picture. But Ziggler realised he's made a mistake by handing the title over and goes after Randy Orton for the US title.
Well, I was thinking he was going to be a part of a multi-man ladder match, man, but man, I mean, I've doubted myself with the show now. I think, maybe Dolph and Shane versus Owens and Zayn, but if not, then I think Dolph and Corbin should get added to the ladder match and make them added to the United States pitch, and you can even add Tyler Dillinger to it, just because why not?
This is the perfect turn.
Yeah, spoil.
Alright, so what are your thoughts on the show overall?
Better than I thought. I think it was better than... Well, it was one of those pay-per-views, a bit like Clash of Champions, where I didn't expect a huge amount, and then it does deliver. I still don't know if I'm annoyed or not about with every brand, but with every pay-per-view becoming dual-branded. I don't know if I agree with it or not. Time will tell. The actual pay-per-view was better than I expected. Really enjoyed the main event. Thought the opening match was excellent. And I think a few interesting builds to Mania as well with the tag picture and most importantly the women's title match as well.
For myself, you know, I really, really enjoyed this pay-per-view. I think if it was one of the big fours, it would really stand out. It's because it's, you know, seen as a so-called secondary pay-per-view. I'm not sure if it will, but for me, this is one of the best bell-to-bell WWE shows in years, in all honesty. That's how much I enjoyed it. Sorry, Nick?
To Elimination Chamber, I must admit.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you look at the matches, there isn't a bad match on the show. From the kickoff show, you've obviously had a wrestling and comedy aspect. Nakamura Rusev was fantastic. The tag title match was fantastic as well. The six pack challenge was Charlotte against Ruby Riott was really good as well. So, you know, I'm just listing the different matches and stuff, but all of them, you know, were really good in some way, shape, or form. They got enough time match wise. I think they were brilliant time wise in terms of the time management from WWE and the bookers and the writers. And from start to finish, I really enjoyed it. And you know, there's a lot to go back to and watch again. Obviously, the six pack challenge and Nakamura versus Rusev jumping out and with that the tag team title match as well, which is really good. So it gets a huge thumbs up from me. It's one of the best pay per views I've watched bell to bell in years.
I think the man of the pay-per-view is definitely the person who made all the video packages because it made it look like there was an amazing build to the show. And it wasn't. Every package made you excited for every match. But if you've been watching it week to week, you haven't been getting a buzz for this show the whole time. But it's pretty solid, yeah, as I say. Had a little buzz, but it was a pretty solid show. Yeah, there's no real questionable booking decisions. Every match has had decent length.
Much preferred to Elimination Chamber, I will say.
Hi, this is Dave Mercy, owner of Pro Wrestling Chaos, and you're listening to Broken But Glorious.
Right, so we'll quickly finish on giving our predictions of what match is going to finish, or headline WrestleMania. So this week there's been a big debate on whether AJ Nakamura, Brock Lesnar versus Reigns, or Rousey and Angle versus Triple H and Stephanie McMahon will finish the show. Firstly, what match do you want to finish the show?
AJ Styles, Nakamura. AJ Styles, Nakamura.
I love it.
I agree with Nick, minus the singing.
Okay, what match will finish the show? What do you want? Nick?
I would have said Reigns Lesnar last month, but now I'm not so sure. I think they might do the Rousey match.
I love it.
Like I've said, I've said it on the Twitter feed and stuff. It's got to be Styles versus Nakamura.
Not what you want. What do you think they will have?
That's what it has to be. It is what I want, but it's how it has to be as well. the Royal Rumble winner should always take on the champion in the main event at WrestleMania.
I'm struggling. When was the last time that happened? Batista, was it? Roman Reigns.
Reigns against Lesnar, wasn't he?
I know.
When Rollins cashed in.
Well, Triple H also won it, technically.
Triple H took on Reigns, didn't he?
That's because Triple H won the belt at WrestleMania.
No, he won it at the Rumble.
Sorry, I beg your pardon.
Yeah. And then he should have lost it to Dean Ambrose at Roadblock, but that's another story for another time.
Yeah.
Alright, so we asked our Twitter followers what match will headline WrestleMania. Before I reveal the results, I did ask for their thoughts, so I'll give a few. So Clough Campbell said the winner of the Royal Rumble should always headline be in the main event. At Ruru Bebe said 100% it'll be Reigns, 100% should be AJ Nakamura. He feels the tag team match will be on fairly early, about the halfway point. Kevin _in_PDX. Just have your real name.
Thanks for being awkward there, Kevin.
He says, I generally don't care. Austin Hart at WrestleMania 13 was mid-show, and that was headlined by Taker Sid.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
At T_Wild says Lesnar Reigns will most likely be. At KA012414 said Taker Cena if it happens. Peter Prickett also said Cena Taker, probably. To which at RXW Bullet Adams replied, fuck with the Undertaker. At the Toe Lock. At the Toe Lock said, as much as it's the match I'm most looking forward to, Styles Nakamura absolutely won't and actually shouldn't headline WrestleMania as they are contending for the B Show title and haven't even been booked as main stars on the B Show.
That guy needs to be blocked, Chris, to be honest. Ain't having that. SmackDown Live is the A Show. Always has been. Always will be.
Alright, so here's the results. So in third place... third place is 16%. Our Twitter followers think Engel, Rousey versus Triple H and Steph. Got 16%. Second place with 31% was AJ Styles versus Nakamura. And then 50% said Lesnar versus Reigns will headline WrestleMania.
To be fair to them, it was an amazing match last time, wasn't it, between Lesnar and Reigns, and it really was, it was better than what people expected. So I'd be content if that was the match. But in all honesty, it needs to be Styles Nakamura. That's the one that everyone wants to see. You can still have Lesnar and Reigns, one or two from the top or what have you. It doesn't need to main event. I know they'd have a lot more respect for both guys if they allowed AJ and Nakamura into the main event slot, really. If they've got a say in it, it'd be good of them to do it because, they've enjoyed a main event at WrestleMania and Styles versus Nakamura should do it as well.
Alright, so thanks everyone for listening. And don't forget to check out our trilogy of interviews with British legend Dean Allmark. Part 3 will be up on Friday, and hopefully we'll have 2 interviews for you next week. Before we go, we're going to do a WrestleMania special on the 27th of April. We plan to do some predictions, a quiz.
27th of March, you mean, Chris?
The 27th? I've wrote down April, sorry. I'm on my third time.
You can do a special on the 27th of April. I'm
27th
sure
of March, sorry.
I'll be back to the slum again.
Right, and then we're going to do a countdown the top 5 matches, which contains our favourite superstars. So, Oliver, who do you go for?
Bret the Hitman Hart.
Nick?
From Miami, Florida, The Rock.
And I went for Macho Man, so the poll is up. I'll put it in the description below. We'd had 25 votes last time. I looked, that was at lunchtime though. It's only been up for an hour, so... who was winning last time? It was Macho Man Steamboat was number one last time I looked. So, they can
good
all
choice.
So if you enjoy our show, follow us on Twitter. It's at BBGW Pod. Subscribe to the Wrestling Hubs.
I don't need to add loads of underscores and ones and underscore two and underscore.
And a 1, 2, 5, 9, 12, 5.
It's at BBGWpod. Subscribe to the Wrestling Hub YouTube channel, and we'll see you for our WrestleMania special in a couple of weeks. Good night.
Good night, everyone.